Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gigax, and today I am here with fellow podcast host, Rich Valla.
Hey, what's up everybody?
All right, and he just happens to be here today because we are recording our other podcast that we do together called the Scafacciverse. Very different from this one. I know at least some of you have listened to a few episodes, and it's fun.
Yeah, maybe not for everybody.
But it is irreverent.
Yeah, if people don't like enjoying themselves, then it's not for you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a really good point.
For you miserable people out there.
Yeah, something like that. So anyway, I wanted to get this episode recorded. We're here anyway, and Rich can definitely chime in because he is good at that.
Yeah, I can chime.
And you definitely have some thoughts.
I probably do.
All right, so I'll try to keep it today, clean. Is my appeal to the National Committee on Appeals on my local president's ruling that we couldn't run for a branch officer position and for steward, even though they're separate elections, and you know, for reasons that we've discussed. And so here's what I want to do to you guys. I want you guys to see, because we have not gotten this decision yet, and so you guys at home can play Monday morning quarterback, listen to these arguments, and decide who has the better argument. I guess that wouldn't be Monday morning quarterback, because we haven't gotten the decision yet. It would be like Saturday afternoon quarterback or something.
Thursday night preview.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Yeah, you guys have to give your score and the spread and see us.
And then we'll see how it works out at the end.
Right. Okay, so the subject of the appeal, well, it'll be covered in here. So I'm going to read my appeal first, the plaintiff, essentially, and then I'm going to read you the branch's official response. Here we go. Preamble. This appeal is filed under Article 11 of the NALC Constitution for the government of subordinate and federal branches. Constitution. It challenges an interpretation by Branch 2502 President, redacted, that prohibits members from being nominated for both a branch officer position and a station shop steward position in branch elections. This ruling is an invalid interpretation of our branch bylaws and is in direct conflict with the Constitution and established national precedent. Further, it is in conflict with the guidance President Redacted and I both received in rulings from NALC National President Brian Renfro and in a letter from NALC Executive Vice President Paul Barner. Now, I'll step out here to say that all of these documents that I reference are attached as exhibits. Here we go. Statement of the issue. The core issue is whether a member of NALC Branch 2502 may be nominated for a branch officer position and, in a concurrent but separate election, be nominated for a station shop steward position. President Redacted's ruling, which was upheld on appeal to the branch, prohibits this dual nomination. I contend that this prohibition is not supported by our branch bylaws, conflicts with the NALC Constitution, and improperly disenfranchises our members.
Okay, so if I remember right, you wanted to run for steward of your station,
right,
as well as one of the spots on the executive board, which was like executive
I wanted to run for branch secretary.
Yeah, but then you changed.
But then it wound up having to be regular vice president.
And you were prohibited from running for steward. You had to choose.
I had to choose one or the other.
Okay, and obviously you chose the higher office because you could have impact on the entire branch versus just my station.
Could help more people, be in a position of greater service.
And the president said, no, you can't do that. And what was his initial rationale?
His rationale, and it's one you're going to hear a lot in their rebuttal, is this is the way we've always done it.
Yeah, but this is the way we've always done it doesn't mean it's done correctly.
That is correct. And so, like, if you've always done things a certain way and then you realize, like, oh, we're wrong,
you would normally fix the problem.
Yeah, you should change course.
Okay, but
that's not what they're doing here.
I think, though, there was a deeper issue at hand here, and it was to disenfranchise voting.
Yeah, like me specifically.
Yeah, and you specifically.
And Michael.
And, other people, because this way you automatically lose one election.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're not in it.
Right.
And they know that they're going to have a massive advantage in the branch-wide election.
Yeah, the officer election.
Right? Right. So, you know, they put you in a no-win situation, so to speak, or at least a very difficult-to-win situation.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, kind of forced you to do this. Now, when you originally protested this, or, you know, appealed it, you did contact people at National, correct?
Yeah, when this issue first came to my attention.
And didn't almost every one of them that I can remember say, I've never heard anything like that before?
No. Every single one of them.
Okay.
Every single one said, yeah, of course you can run in both elections.
Now, are there people in other branches nationwide that hold more than one position?
Yes. And there are people in our own branch who hold more than one position. So we're going to get into these arguments.
Okay. Now I really have to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Background. The bylaws of Branch 2502 have been difficult to acquire. For years, they were not published and were not distributed, despite the requirement to do so that those very bylaws contained. When I finally got my hands on a copy, it became immediately apparent that Branch 2502 was not abiding by its own rules. The flouting of those rules came to a head during our tainted branch election in 2024. Those violations, as well as the violations of many other rules contained in the rules governing branch election procedures, election rules, led to the necessity of a full rerun of our election, which is happening now. I discussed these violations with branch presidents and union officials or union officers from around the country. It was during these discussions that I was made aware that our bylaws allowed candidates to run for positions in both our steward elections and our branch-wide officer election. I learned that this is standard practice in branches that have steward elections. In fact, I could not find a single instance of a candidate in one election being prohibited from being a candidate in the other election.
Okay, so wait a minute. In your own branch, in your own bylaws, it does not prohibit this.
Correct.
So
what it says in the bylaws is that you can only be nominated for one office.
Yeah, but the stewardship is not an office.
That is correct.
So how is it that they managed to interpret this in a way that is completely backwards?
They're interpreting it. So it says you can't be nominated for more than one office, and they're taking that to mean you can't be nominated for more than one position.
Yeah, but that's not what it says.
That is correct.
So how did they make office into position?
Yeah, so
like, I will tell there has to be some kind of articulation from them.
Right, like where this came from.
Well, and how they made this leap, and were they ever made to actually explain it, how a stewardship is an office now, when it's not.
Mind you, that there will be a branch response, which we will read. But you're making really good points here, because
I'm going to guess that there was no articulation that actually made sense. They just made an argument. Whether that argument made sense or not, so, they just went with it.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I make the argument here that what they're doing is unconstitutional.
It sounds like it.
They will not, in their reply, again, spoiler, they will not address the constitutional issue.
Well, why would they? They're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
let's just ignore that.
Ignore that one. Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, to us, as to how it got this way, I was talking to Fred Woodley of Delivering Solidarity.
I don't know Fred, but
no.
He sounds like an okay guy. He's delivering solidarity.
Exactly. He's a podcaster.
Ah, well.
Yeah, he's a president in Ohio. I know I've talked to you about him. Yeah. It doesn't matter. So anyway, and he said, I bet you back in the day at some point, there was some up-and-coming steward who wanted to run for office, and a good old boy
was scared to death,
was worried about it, and was like, how do I stop this from happening? Oh, you know, see where it says here you can only run for one office? Yeah, you're going to have to, like, if you decide that you want to run for vice president, you're not going to be able to run for steward, so you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And something like that is really easy to imagine.
Oh, absolutely, because it's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is happening.
Yeah, it is happening. And then after that, it just got inherited.
Yeah, well, and that becomes the way we've always done it.
Right, exactly.
Right, even though it was wrong, like I said, nobody challenged it at the time, and so then it became precedent and essentially established.
Right. Okay, so we get back to the background.
Go ahead.
Here. Yeah. To ensure that I was not misreading or misinterpreting our bylaws and the Constitution, I reached out to President Renfro for clarification. His rulings were clear. As long as our stewards were not branch officers, did not sit on the branch's executive board, were not elected in branch-wide elections, and so long as dual service as an officer and steward was not prohibited, quote, double nomination is acceptable.
Okay, now quote. This is the president of the entire,
yeah, of the entire
national union.
Correct.
Now, I would imagine
yeah.
that his decision here
uh-huh.
carries some weight.
Oh, you'd like to think, wouldn't right? you?
At least enough weight to outweigh
yeah.
a local branch president, because that president would, in fact, report to him.
Well, so the interesting
thing... To some level.
Yeah, and I think it comes up later. Okay. I know it comes up in the response, is that Renfro said at the end of his letter, like, look, it's not my job to interpret your bylaws. I interpret the Constitution.
Sure.
And your bylaws are your branch's business.
Okay, yeah, so it's like states' rights.
Yeah, and so however you interpret your bylaws... That's up to you.
Yeah, but they should... Oh, okay, go yeah, on.
So my president took that as license...
to just interpret any way he sees
yeah,
fit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so to go on. Our branch meets all of these criteria, right? The four things that he laid out, right? Yeah. Okay. Upon receiving this ruling, I immediately forwarded it to President Redacted and prepared myself to be a candidate for branch secretary and for steward at the East Las Vegas Post Office. During our September 2025 branch meeting, President Redacted announced that he interpreted our bylaws to mean that a candidate for an officer position is barred from participating in the steward election and vice versa. I immediately appealed his decision under Article 11 of the Constitution to the branch. After an abbreviated debate, the branch voted 38-34 to uphold President Peterman's President Redacted's interpretation. Yeah, yeah. Whatever. It is this interpretation that I'm asking the Committee on Appeals to overturn. All right.
Okay. So wait a minute.
Yeah.
Dude, this makes my head hurt.
I know.
Okay. So President Redacted.
Yeah.
Right. Pig vomit. Yeah. Right. Essentially unilaterally decided what words mean.
Well,
is what he did.
In fairness that he may not deserve, this has been the going interpretation.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it correct.
Agreed.
Right? And I understand that this is not like law. This isn't, you know, we're not in court or anything like that. But the fact is you can't just change the definition of words.
Right.
And...
Yeah, it says office, but I'm taking that to mean position.
Yeah, well, he right. could take it to mean anything he wants.
Right.
If there's no check on his power. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. Absolutely.
Is that the only check on his power is also not done in a way that is balanced. It's heavily weighted to him.
Yeah. Well, and to go a step further, even if he knows he's wrong.
It doesn't matter.
Right, because I have to go through this appeal, and in the meantime, the election has happened,
and I got shut out. Well, and on top of it, as I know you've probably covered this in so many episodes of your show, but they continually delay.
Sure.
Right? And in the meantime, they get to have their way because the justice will either never come... Or right. comes so late that it no longer
that
matters.
That is exactly correct. Yeah. And so even if I win this appeal that I'm reading right now, there's no sanction.
Well, and what can be done? What's the enforcement policy
exactly.
here? Yeah. How does this change anything? And
it
that's
doesn't. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. And they know this. So, I mean, to me, when the day comes that power changes hands
uh-huh.
in your local branch.
Yeah, yeah.
There has to be the type of reform that makes these kind of things impossible because you're only one rogue president away
yeah.
from disaster at all times.
That is correct. You know, have the same problem nationally in our union.
Yeah, we have the same problem nationally in our nation.
Yeah, that's right. You know, yeah, exactly.
Is that a lot of this stuff is that we're all these laws, rules, bylaws, and all that, they're only as good as the enforcement.
That is correct.
And having someone willing to enforce them. And that seems to be the big issue here.
Yeah.
Is that there is no enforcement that really matters. Because in this case, the president of the National Union
mm-hmm.
made a decision. For whatever reason.
And laid out the criteria.
Yeah, for whatever reason, didn't make it emphatic as a, this is a hard no, you have to do this.
Actually, my reading of it, he did
I felt that. He did, yeah. But the thing is, as long as there was any wiggle room at all, there was any light in the darkness,
right?
President Redacted was going to find that light and start arguing over what the word is really means.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, going into that meeting, you know, talking to people from around the country, they're like, well, whatever happens, at least you got Renfro's ruling, and so you know you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, so now,
yeah,
I know there's more to come.
Yeah, yeah.
Does Renfro know what happened?
Oh, yeah.
And what was Renfro's reply?
His reply was, well, now you got to file an appeal,
and so that's what's going on now.
Yeah, that's what's going on now.
Keep going.
Dude, but also Executive Vice President Barner, who also gave us this ruling,
yeah,
he responded too. Like, this was brought to his attention, and he was, according to the person who talked to him, really pissed off. Like,
so did he call President Redacted?
I don't know.
I mean, I would want to know that.
I would want to know that too. And he brought up the idea of Article 10 charges.
Oh, 1,000% against our president, because for you cannot just do this.
Right. Right. Okay. So getting back to get to the argument section. One, the branch bylaws and the NALC Constitution distinguish officers from stewards. Article 4, Section 1 of the NALC Constitution for subordinate and federal branches explicitly lists the elective officers of a branch. These positions do not include shop stewards. Article 4, Section 1 of the Branch 2502 bylaws mirrors the National Constitution by listing the branch's officers, and again, shop stewards are excluded. Article 4, Section 2 of the Branch 2502 bylaws further clarifies this distinction, stating, quote, other branch representatives shall be all formal lay officers and shop stewards, end quote. By categorizing stewards as, quote, other branch representatives, end quote, our bylaws explicitly separate them from branch officers. Article 4, Section 5 of the NALC Constitution reinforces this distinction, describing stewards as being, quote, under the direction of the branch or its officers, end quote. This provision makes it clear that stewards are subordinate to and therefore distinct from branch officers.
Once again, making the line very clear.
The line is crystal fucking clear. And yeah. So when we had our original debate at the branch, one of the things that the officers did was try to throw doubt on this.
Yeah, muddy those waters, yeah, man.
Because they said that, like, oh, well, in the duties of officers, it also lists what the duties of stewards are, and so there you go, it's not clear. But they never would make the argument, because what that does is to try to undermine this point that stewards are not officers. But they will never make the argument stewards are officers, because they know they can't.
Chewbacca is not an Ewok.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, that's what this is. Right. It's the Chewbacca defense.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, number two. The branch bylaws do not prohibit dual service. There is no language in the Branch 2502 bylaws that prohibits a member from holding both an officer position and a shop steward position. In fact, multiple sections of our bylaws treat officers and stewards as two distinct categories, as evidenced by phrases like, quote, officers and stewards, end quote.
Yeah, exactly. Just the same.
Right. In sections pertaining to nominations and elections. And I give the sections here. Arguments of past practice to justify President Redacted's ruling. The argument of past practice is invalid. There is a documented past precedent of branch officers, such as so-and-so, who have simultaneously served as stewards in their respective stations. This practice was done under the authority of President Redacted himself.
Wow.
Yeah, this practice demonstrates that dual service is permitted in Branch 2502.
So when this evidence was presented,
yeah,
we're still waiting to see the result. Is that what you're telling me? Or
well, yeah, this evidence was from the Committee on Appeals. Wait till you see what the reply is.
I can't wait. Keep going. Yeah,
because they do address this point reply. Okay. Three, President Renfro's rulings support dual nominations for distinct positions. In presidential rulings dated August 13th and August 25th, 2025, NALC President Brian Renfro outlined the conditions under which a member may be prohibited from dual nomination. He stated that a position is not treated as a branch officer under the bylaws, e.g. if stewards are elected by station and do not sit on the executive board, then a member has the right to be nominated for both a branch officer and a steward position. Branch 2502's circumstances align perfectly with President Renfro's conditions. Our bylaws do not treat the steward position as a branch office. Stewards are elected by their respective stations in a separate election and not by the entire branch membership. Stewards do not sit on the branch's executive board. Dual service is not prohibited. Therefore, according to the National President's own rulings, no prohibition against dual nomination exists in this branch.
Yeah, this, okay, once again, seems fairly clear.
It does.
Yeah, I'm right. No expert.
Four, I got one more.
Okay, go.
Officer and steward elections are separate and distinct. So what I've done here is taken Renfro's four criteria and just expand on each one.
Yeah, I like it.
Although the elections for officers and stewards are held simultaneously, they are, by their very nature, two separate and distinct elections. Officers are elected by the entire branch, while stewards are elected only by the members of their respective stations. A prohibition that bars members from participating in one election because of their candidacy in a separate election is fundamentally undemocratic and would be unconstitutional if it were included in the bylaws. President Redacted's ruling effectively creates such a prohibition. Conclusion. The NALC must be careful to protect the fundamental rights of its members. The right to run in an election is guaranteed in our Constitution, Article 5, Section 2, in the Election Rules, 4.1, and in Federal Labor Law, LMRDA Title 4. I had to go look that shit up.
Yeah, good job.
If a candidate is to be barred from running in a union election, there must be a clear and lawful reason for doing so. No such prohibition exists in the bylaws of Branch 2502. President Redacted's ruling is an arbitrary interpretation of the Branch 2502 bylaws that has no basis in fact or precedent. The ruling creates a conflict between our branch bylaws and the NALC Constitution, disenfranchises qualified members who seek to serve their branch, undermines the democratic process by limiting participation. For the reasons outlined above, I respectfully request that the NALC Committee on Appeals overturn President Redacted's ruling against members being nominated for both an officer and a steward position. A reversal of this ruling will uphold the principles of democracy and member participation that are core to our union. All right, so that's my appeal.
I like it. Yeah. Well written.
Thank you.
Yeah, George Washington fought the British
for this.
That's
right. Yeah. That's right. I knew it had to be read to the branch.
Yeah.
And so... That was as brief as I could make it.
I did solid. Because
if it was just being written to the Committee on Appeals and not read to the branch, it probably would have been three times as long.
Sure.
Because, like, one of the arguments that I really wanted to make was the analogy. I know how you like analogies.
Dude, I come from a long line of good analogists.
Yeah. Is that, imagine that our bylaws were interpreted to mean that no one with green hair can be a steward.
That would be discriminatory.
It would be discriminatory, and it would be unconstitutional. And then for them to use the argument that, well, we have past precedent. Nobody with green hair has ever been elected
so therefore, in
the branch, so therefore it's valid because this is the way we've always done it. That's obviously bullshit.
Yeah.
They're disqualifying somebody from running for a bullshit reason that ain't in the bylaws.
But it appears to me that no amount of words...
Yeah.
Is going to suddenly make President Redacted
be reasonable or come around.
Well, no, vote for his own defeat.
Oh, sure. Right. It's against his own self-interest.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's at the heart of these issues, of all these issues.
Right. Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is that when it boils down to it, President Redacted.
Yep.
Votes for President Redacted.
Right.
Rules, bylaws, Constitution be damned.
Right. And then strong arms other people into voting for it. And then knows that the retirees that come in will just see whatever he votes and vote for that.
They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're retired.
Right.
They sit around and play with their balls all day.
So, and that was one of the reasons that I decided to run for office rather than steward is because theoretically, I can still be appointed as steward. There's no way I was going to be appointed vice president.
No.
But, like, theoretically, especially, like, if Michael wins, then I could be appointed steward.
Yeah, well, it, also, though, yeah. I mean, like, if you ran for steward, you would win in an absolute landslide.
Yeah, I would have won by default, actually, because we wound up with an opening.
Right, but still,
yeah.
I think I've covered this on past appearances on this show. Is there still a steward opening at your station?
Funny you should mention that. That's where I was going with this, too.
I mean,
there is.
This has been now, I think my appearances are like, go back almost a year and a half.
There's been an opening for quite some time.
Right. And this opening has still not been filled.
And so President Redacted put up an advertisement like a month ago.
Did the advertisement say, and not Alan?
It basically might as well have, because he said, you know, I'm looking for stewards. We have the steward opening. So once again, I put in my application.
Yeah.
And I know my application was received. As far as I know, I'm the only applicant.
Yeah.
No decision.
And now, can't we, I mean, there's got to be like some kind of dereliction of duty type stuff going on there.
Well, we may get around to that when it's.
Dude. You know,
because that came up the first time that he got charged.
Yeah.
With all those charges, that was one of the charges, was that he wasn't filling these vacancies.
Dude, every day I would probably submit that charge. Every day. I'd be like the Andy Dufresne
of
submitting those charges, if for an analogy, if you want one.
Right, right. Yeah. All right, here we go to the response.
Go, God.
All right, and this is written by our branch's executive executive vice president.
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to listen closely for when they make the constitutional argument. Yeah.
Yeah. You're
probably not going to hear it. Okay, here we go. Dear committee, this is a response from Branch 25, NALC Branch 2502, Las Vegas, Nevada, to the Committee on Appeals regarding an appeal placed under the office door of the branch and found at 8:40 a.m. on September 23rd, 2025, from Branch 2502 member Alan Gigax.
Did you put poop on that before you slid it under the door?
It was tempting.
Because I would have.
No, because I knew it was going to go to the committee. And so, but yeah, I went down to the office and there was nobody home. I thought there was a door slot at our union hall, but there isn't. So I just slid it under the door. No
fair.
Big deal. Right. I met the timeliness.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I think it was the day before.
Did you take a picture of it?
I did.
Yeah, I would
too. And so did they. And they included the picture in their appeal.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
So anyway.
Go ahead.
It appears the basis for Brother Gigax's appeal concerns attempting to overturn the will of the branch members in a vote taken at the September 3rd general meeting of the branch.
You bastard.
Yeah. I mean, she's right.
Yeah.
I am attempting to overturn the will of the branch, the express will of the branch. Prior to the start of the nomination process.
Something they've also done, by the way. Let me just point that out.
Yeah. Prior to the start of the nomination process of a redo election ordered by the Committee on Appeals, President Redacted notified the members present that as president of Branch 2502, the authority to interpret the branch bylaws was within his duties. It's true.
It is.
He then stated that in accordance with Branch 2502 bylaws, under Article 5, Section 3C, it states that no person can accept nomination for more than one office. Therefore, that would be the basis for nominations tonight. This opened discussion with the members present. Several issues were brought forward, including testimony from witnesses present, that this was the interpretation of our branch for the past 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion was brought forward by member Alan Gigax regarding a letter sent to Brother Gigax from National President Brian Renfro, dated August 13th, 2025, that stated, quote, previous presidential rulings have recognized that if a steward position is not treated as a branch office under the bylaws, then, e.g., if stewards are elected by station rather than the entire membership and do not sit on the branch executive board, then a member would have the right to be nominated for both a branch office and a steward position. Neither the Constitution nor the RGBEP, that's the election rules, prohibit simultaneous service as both a branch officer and steward in these circumstances. End quote. President Renfro also added at the end of his letter the following, quote, I must caution, however, that it would not be appropriate for me as national president to resolve any issues about the meaning of the bylaws. Such disputes must be resolved in the first instance at the branch level. End quote. Of course, that is the opening.
Sure, yeah, that's the light that
exactly.
he needed. Yeah.
Yep. President Peterman also presented a letter from National President Brian Renfro, dated August 25th, 2025, which stated, quote, however, my ruling expressly noted that the branch bylaws themselves may prohibit dual service as an officer and steward, but that it would not be appropriate for me as national president to resolve any issues about the meaning of the bylaws. Such disputes must be resolved in the first instance at the branch level, end quote. Or no, as branch president, you have the authority to rule on the meaning of the branch bylaws, end quote. Okay. I know that what I'm doing right now is unfair because I'm going to pick apart this argument right now as it's presented.
I don't think it's unfair as long as you don't lie.
Right, and I'm presenting the argument
misinformation.
As
misinformation. Yeah.
This thing that they're saying, as long as the branch bylaws themselves do, my ruling expressly noted that the branch bylaws themselves may prohibit dual service.
But they don't.
Exactly. They're trying to hang their fucking hat on this. Maybe it does prohibit it.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
But they never make the argument that it's prohibited.
Yeah, no.
That is exactly right.
They just make an argument.
Yeah.
Just to make an argument.
Right, just to muddy things. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but explicitly do not prohibit it. So it right. may, who gives a shit?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. After a period of debate, the question was called to cut off debate. A vote was taken with the yes vote declared successful. A division was called with the yes, for just to end debate.
Yeah.
45-22. So yeah, we lost that by one vote. Otherwise, we would have continued debating. All right. So
yeah,
anyway,
but once again, no amount of relevant. Debate yeah. isn't going to change right. anything. You could debate till the cows right. come home.
Okay. So a motion was entered to overturn the decision of the chairman, which would be our president's ruling. A voice vote was taken with the members voting not to overturn the decision of the chair. A division was called for by Alan Gygax. After the count to overturn was 32, to sustain the chair was 38, discussion was ended. While Brother Gygax adds several pages of comments in the appeal, it appears that most of it is complaining how he feels about the leadership of the branch, but has little to do with the issue of President Peterman's interpretation of our laws.
Like it would matter.
No, but also, I think I only have like half a paragraph about the way the branch is run.
Look, clearly he's not going to be factual.
This is the executive vice president who's female, but it doesn't matter.
She is not going to be factual either. They're not
the facts aren't on their side.
Well, and they're not interested in them.
Right.
They're meaningless here. In the end, this vote to deny your appeal was strictly... It was made before the appeal ever read.
Of course. Yeah.
Nobody was swayed here.
Okay. Now, next sentence, the next paragraph.
Yeah, go, man.
Sister,
fire away.
I'll redact her. One of our supporters also had an appeal, much like mine. Yeah. And sister so-and-so is not an aggrieved member. She did not run for a position. So we have this entire appeal that she wrote. With her own arguments, that is the entirety of how her appeal is addressed. She's not an aggrieved member. She didn't run for a position. Okay, so Article 11. It says that an appeal may be taken to the president from the decision of any other officers of the branch and to the branch from any decisions of the president, which appeal must be taken at the meeting before any blah, blah, blah. When an appeal from the action of the branch is taken, the following rules must be observed. First, the appeal must be in writing and filed with the secretary within 20 days, and you should give them whatever documents they want. Second, the recording secretary should submit it and read it to the branch. Third, the branch shall then be allowed 20 days to prepare its reply. Where in here does it say that you have to be an aggrieved member who has run for office?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. No. Anybody can fucking appeal
the
decision.
It's a straw man argument.
It is a straw. That is 100% a straw man. They dismiss her entire appeal on the basis Sister Leslie, Sister Redacted, is not an aggrieved member. She did not run for a position.
Doesn't matter.
It is completely fucking irrelevant.
But this is how they're making decisions. They're not interested. I mean, look, I get it, man.
Yeah.
The frustration here is that, in
it's
my
so
opinion,
thick. Yeah.
you continue to like act in good faith
right.
and believe they're also going to act
right.
in good faith. They're not.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a... It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Okay, so
keep
moving
going,
on.
Man. I love it.
The president, executive vice president, and vice president positions of Branch 2502 are full-time positions serving 21 stations, including Boulder City, North Las Vegas, Henderson, and Las Vegas installations. Smaller branches may have multiple positions as they have no full-time positions. In these situations, the branch president is on management's clock paid by the USPS, not by branch dues. They can be the president and steward at the same time. A full-time officer cannot be paid by both the branch and by the USPS. the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, that's Chewbacca. What I thought too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Branches with less than 10, and there's also a bunch of like errors in here that I'm just.
They're not allowed to put sauerkraut on hot dogs.
Right.
It's just as relevant.
Correcting stuff on the fly, but that's fine. Branches with less than 10 members may have combined positions. This is not the case in Branch 2502. No other branch's bylaws control the bylaws of Branch 2502.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't see the argument here.
It's word salad, bro.
Right, right.
Yeah.
The president, executive vice president, and vice president, by virtue of their position, may act as a steward in the stations. So here she's making my argument for me.
Yeah.
That dual service is allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's ignore that.
The branch president has the authority to interpret the bylaws as stated in President Renfro's August 2025 letter, which annotated as a courtesy correspondence to Brother Alan Gygax. Brother Gygax is improperly scrutinizing the bylaws. Brother Gygax is improperly stating scrutinizing the bylaws, as no other person than the branch president can interpret the branch bylaws. Brother Gygax has no authority to interpret the branch bylaws.
Okay, I think you would have.
Yeah, I mean, I can still fucking read them.
Yeah, you're allowed to read them in plain English.
Yeah,
go like.
I can understand them as written. How the fuck is this?
Yeah. We're not allowed to deliver hot pizzas as postal workers. My God. Hey, I think I'm not allowed to do this. I mean, you're allowed to read it. Now, your interpretation isn't made law.
Right. You can't, interpretation is not binding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you're still allowed to interpret it.
Of course.
And then determine whether or not it is fair. And if it's not fair, appeal or go through whatever process exists.
This is what we're up against.
Dude, you're up against Chewbacca, bro.
All right. The bylaws were always available to any member who asked for them. Any member could have walked into the union hall and a copy would have been made for them.
Really?
The branch has been in the process of updating the bylaws to change the top pay rate and the renaming of the titles. Everything else has been the same. So let me remind you, right? Step out of the appeal for a second. When I asked the branch president for a copy of the bylaws.
Dude, it took a long time.
It did. And his first reply is, what do you need them for?
Yeah. Well, also,
why don't you just tell bylaws? Why don't you just tell me what you're looking for, and I'll answer your question for you.
Yeah. You don't need to look under this. You don't need to look under this blanket. I'm telling you, the gold plates are under there.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
So will you call me a liar?
Right. So that's her addressing my issue of I couldn't even get the bylaws, which is background, like the part. The tiny part of my thing that is complaining about the way the branch was handling things, that's what she's talking about here.
Dude.
It's so not.
There's like so much of this that I wish could just be handled with like an actual sitting judge.
Right.
Who could just sit in there and call balls and strikes.
Right,
because they would, like their arguments just don't stand up to scrutiny.
And in my
and they're nonsense on top of it. I mean, they're just nonsense.
In my experience with the Committee on Appeals, they're going to make as narrow a ruling as possible.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're just going to pick one part of the argument and say, this is the controlling argument, and they're not going to address the rest.
No, because why would
they? Why would they? Right, exactly.
They're not going to, look, they're going to look for anything where they can
hang their hat on the decision.
Yeah, and then just say like, well, our decision makes sense. And look, they voted on it and they said it makes sense too. It's like the whatever.
Supreme Court.
Yeah. It's like, that. Yeah. It's
they
like,
make a narrow ruling. All right. So I expect to win, obviously, but I expect the ruling to be narrow and all this other shit that we're addressing. I don't expect that to be addressed in the, all right.
No, because they're not going to.
The branch president's interpretation was supported by the vote of the branch membership, the will of the membership. Fair, it was.
Yeah.
The ruling of President Redacted was the same as prior branch presidents. In the past,
oh my God. Yeah, because for 30 years they've been interpreting it wrong.
Right.
This does not justify it. Well, look, his decision was just as wrong as the last guy's. Therefore, it's right.
Yeah. In the past, no member of Branch 2502 has run for or accepted a nomination for more than one position. There have been incidents where the president has appointed a person who has accepted and won a nomination on the executive board, and then the branch president appointed them as a steward. That the person then had a choice of what pay rate they wanted, but never both. Both President Norton, our deceased president, and President Redacted have done so. So once again, she's making our argument that
But that, what
that dual service is allowed.
But what they're saying is only by appointment.
Only by appointment, right.
Yeah, not by election.
And the portion
which
of the
is
bylaws,
irrelevant.
Yeah.
Either dual service is allowed,
right.
Or it's not. Or right. If it were to be allowed, but only under like the most extenuating circumstances, yeah. Because we have to do something.
Right. Or only by appointment.
Yeah.
That would be in the bylaws and she'd
exactly.
be able to quote it.
But
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
No, yep. They're just pulling shit out of their butt.
Okay. Next. Accepting nomination for one position promotes participation and inclusion. You guys can't see it, but he's just shaking his head.
Dude, it's so frustrating because it's so dumb.
Yep. Having one member accept nomination for and hold multiple positions prohibits interest and participation. I would just simply point to the election itself,
yeah.
Where we had a bunch of positions go unfilled.
Yeah.
Because we had people who wanted to run and were barred from running.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. We're almost done here.
It's okay. I'm having a good time.
I know it is. Yeah. Yeah. You really add something to these episodes, Rich. Yeah. All right. If there is an issue with the branch bylaws or a section needs clarification, then it must be addressed through the branch bylaw committee, which Brother Gigax is a member, and passed by the branch. It is not the onus of the Committee on Appeals to interpret branch bylaws. All right. So again, here, since I'm already not being fair, giving her a fair reading, I don't have a problem with the way the bylaws are written.
I think
the bylaws are written correctly.
In fact, you're the person with the least amount of problems with the
right,
bylaws.
Right, exactly. Yeah, as written. Yeah, yeah, I would like them to be
just
enforced
them.
As written.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not looking for a change to the bylaws.
No.
They're written the same as bylaws all around the country because we just fucking copied them from the Constitution.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, Brother Gigax had questions about the bylaws months prior, as documented in his cited April 9th, 2025 email. Brother Alan Gigax is on the bylaw committee, but chose not to address his interpretation by the bylaw committee, instead engaging in gamesmanship before nominations.
What game?
Well, so at
Rochambeau.
The nomination meeting, they said that I like was trying to pull a fast one.
Really?
By just bringing this up in the meeting. Now, mind you, as soon as I got that letter from Renfro, I sent it to President Redacted
sure.
that day.
Yeah.
I could have just held it in my pocket
and, waited.
And pulled it out at
yeah.
the meeting. But I didn't.
No.
I sent it to him immediately.
Gave him the heads up.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, so they're not. They don't care.
They conclude. We would ask that Brother Gigax's appeal be denied and the branch member's decision to be sustained. And there you have it.
So they could have just really ended with that very last line and not bothered to make an argument at all.
Right.
Because that's all it really matters. They're not making an argument that actually refutes
right.
anything.
No.
It's just word salad thrown out there. They probably used like ChatGPT or something like that to just, hey, make my nonsense sound reasonable. And then it's like, oh, no problem, master. And it did
right.
it. Right. But it's nonsense. If they look, if they rule on the facts,
yeah.
they lose, period.
Right. Because
I mean, there's no other way around it.
You know, in my first writing of my appeal, I opened with, the branch does have the authority to rule on its bylaws, but that authority is not unlimited. It
no.
still has to comport with the Constitution.
Yeah, but they forget that part.
Yeah.
They're just going to ignore that part of it.
I forgot to, when I did my final rewrite, that wound up getting taken out, and I kind of wish it were still in. I mean,
yeah.
the argument is still made, obviously.
But here's the thing is, like you kind of mentioned earlier, everything you say, not really binding, right? You can make, yeah. you could stand out there in front of the entire branch, make the most well-reasoned, factual argument possible, and they can still just vote no.
Right.
And it,
yeah.
their vote no
that's the problem.
Doesn't have to be based, in fact, bylaws,
Dude.
Constitution. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
When Michael and I got railroaded and found guilty of defamation without any sort of due process,
yeah.
I made some killer fucking arguments
I'm
up
sure
there.
You did.
And was passionate and did great. And it didn't matter.
No.
They had stacked the hall with, you know,
and
retirees.
So,
and yeah.
that's the fight that you guys really should be fighting.
Yeah.
Is how do we fight against
Dude.
Essentially nonsense decision making?
Right. Because when my appeal on that went to the National Committee on Appeals.
Guess what? You won.
Exactly.
You crushed.
Yeah.
Destroyed. Dominated. Because right, they read it and they were like, yeah, of course.
So before we get out of there,
yeah,
before we get out of here, there's some supporting documents that they've included, statements from other people. And they're all basically the same. In fact, some of them use the exact same wording.
Alan is maybe, a poop head.
I think maybe it might they as were well. Given
Alan smells.
A you template know, of, like, hey, this is yeah. the kind of thing you should say. But, okay, so listen to this. This one is typical. Article 5, Section 3. No person shall... This is an email that's been printed out for yeah. inclusion. Article 5, Section 3. No person shall accept nominations for more than one office. Hello, my name is Redacted. I've been a member of Branch 2502 since 1994. Never under past presidents John Powell, Jerry Penn, Glenn Norton, or current president Redacted have I witnessed a nomination where one individual could be nominated for more than one office.
So?
Yeah. Well, and he keeps saying office, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you not... impressed by the
no.
by this statement yet? Well, then let's read on. On Wednesday, September 1st, we were intrigued with such a notion. Dude, so this is a statement. We were intrigued. Like, yeah. A, that's unnatural. B, it's in multiple of these
I'm sure.
emails. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were intrigued. Because
yeah.
that's... And yeah, somehow that wound up...
Don't look for me at Bobby's house. I'm not there.
So you're so right.
That's what these are.
Right.
You know?
We were intrigued with such a notion where one individual could be nominated for more than one office. Oh, wait. We were intrigued with such a notion by Brother Gigax. Membership voted not to allow any individual to be nominated for more than one office. So he keeps saying office.
Yeah, and, it doesn't yeah, matter.
I know. Okay, going on. You're right. Yeah. We have a bylaw committee in which Mr. Alan Gigax is on. If there is a problem with the law... Article 5, Section 3, if the language needed to be addressed, he had from January 2025 to current to submit bylaw changes to be sent to National for approval.
No changes needed.
Right. Please yeah. overrule the appeal that has been presented to you. Thank you. Redacted. And that's very typical of what...
Yeah, the, I'm sure they're all kind of a similar vein.
Yeah. This but is the way we've always done it.
Yeah. Hey, look, we've always been wrong. And because we've always been wrong, yeah. we're going to stay doing it wrong.
Right. And so one of the...
And you're an asshole for pointing it out.
Right. One of the problems with Robert's Rules, and I mean, Robert's Rules is a solution to a problem.
Yeah.
You know, one of the issues is...
Brings that, order to yeah, the way things are
is
done.
That oftentimes statements can go unrebutted.
Yeah.
And that happened at this meeting where there was this narrative that came out that, hey, if you have a problem with the bylaws, why didn't you just bring it to the bylaw committee?
You know,
of course, I have an answer for that. Yeah. The problem is... I can only speak once,
yeah,
and then everybody has to speak before I can speak again. And before that happened, debate was ended.
Sure.
By one vote.
Yeah.
And so I never got a chance to address that.
I mean, the thing is, you don't really get your day in court.
No.
Because your day, this is, it's A, it's not court.
It's a kangaroo court, yeah.
Well, but it's also it's not set up like a trial.
Right, like with rules of evidence. And
yeah, and things like that. Yeah. It's just, this is the way our arguments are settled. This is the process that we use, and it's a process that brings order so that things don't you know, devolve into chaos.
Right.
And it has value.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have value to get the truth or to find out what's truly,
right,
you know, the correct interpretation of a bylaw. It's set up so that you get to... speak,
right.
You get your quote-unquote due process,
right,
and then that due process is crushed,
right,
and then
by
we
whoever
vote.
Happens to be there to vote,
yeah, yeah, and then we vote,
you know? Right,
and that's yeah. it. And it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. It doesn't matter if their decision is horribly wrong, which has happened before,
right,
and then it doesn't even matter if their wrong decision is then brought to national. They're told they're wrong,
right,
because in the end they yeah. don't they don't have to listen.
Right.
It's a fucking suggestion.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get out of here. Oh, so dear listener, I'm very curious to hear. I understand I gave a biased presentation.
Yeah. Right? Look, they're hearing just your side of it. Yeah. I get it.
But I read all their arguments word for word.
Yeah. And they're, I mean, look, any rational person who just reads the bylaws.
Right.
And then look at what's done. You don't really need an argument. It's spelled out there.
Yeah, and all the people from the National Committee on Appeals...
all agree with you.
They come from branches that use the same language
yeah.
and interpreted it in the standard way.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Well, like I said, I think under a different situation,
yeah.
I think they would rule differently if, for example, President Redacted had a buddy that he wanted to hold... two positions.
Right, right. Or, yeah, like so or many a girlfriend, decisions.
For example.
Right, it's self-serving.
Yeah, that he would just self-serve and that would be that. And then, right. you know, and then they would just use whatever nonsense argument to justify it. Well, right. this is an appointment. It's not an election.
Dude, just like when he okay. removed me as a steward
sure.
after the last election and said, oh, I didn't make a decision because he didn't want me to be able to appeal.
Yeah,
and
so he's like, I didn't make a decision. He acted as if he didn't yeah. make the decision at all.
You get removed automatically.
What a gutless bitch.
Dude, and then when I said, oh, if it happens automatically, it must be in the bylaws.
Yeah, it's not.
And no.
Well, and it didn't happen to everybody else.
You're right. Yeah, you're exactly. right. Yeah, exactly.
But it didn't. But once again, did it matter?
No. Because I still got removed.
Yeah, and yeah. you could appeal it till the cows come home.
Right.
And it isn't going to make a difference.
Yeah, that was one where I was like, fuck it. It's not, I can only fight so many battles.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the point.
And that battle only, right.
If you're right, if you're president redacted, you just default to know anything you say.
Right.
And then force you to fight tooth and nail to get the littlest scrap
right.
of justice.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what yeah, the hell good what does end? It do?
Right.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if you have thoughts on these arguments, on what you heard, classesofmail@gmail.com. Yep. And also, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Do what you have to do. Yep. Say goodbye to everybody.
Hey, goodbye, Classes of Mail.
There you go. So, yeah, our next podcast guest is here. So that's good. So anyway, if you have thoughts on this, especially if your thoughts run against mine, where you think that, you know, the good old boys are actually making a valid case, let me know. classesmail@gmail.com. All right. And then the last thing is Build a Fighting NALC is sending out a contract survey where they want your thoughts on what our priorities should be going into the next contract. And I have already filled out mine. You should fill out yours. Go to fightingnalc.com/survey and fill that out. And while you're there, might as well sign up for their email list as well. Build a Fighting NALC is doing important work, and this contract survey will be used, hopefully, in helping us get a better contract and in deciding, you know, what we're going to rally for. So, again, that's fightingnalc.com/survey. All right, and that's all I have. Thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all next time.